I don't really trust anybody under the age of 50 that's really good at bowling. You know what I mean?
Because it requires you spending a lot of time in a place alone, enjoying having the skin rubbed off of your thumbs and inventing new strains of bacteria and viruses by never washing your hands ever.
Runner, to your feet.
Welcome to Cotton Eye Joe. My name's Jackson.
And I'm Asher.
And you're watching Disney. No, we can't do that. Can't do that. Especially because that's such a visual bit.
The Disney Channel?
Yeah.
You may already notice a difference in the audio fidelity of my voice. I'm coming at you live, pre-recorded, from the unrefrigerated meat locker, which is pretty much what you might as well call my closet after you've stuffed my carcass into it. I suppose this is a walk-in closet if you're about the size of a Pomeranian. I'm not a large man, and I'm really hunkered and origami folded in here. Surrounded by hoodies, blankets, blanket on the door, got a few inches of breathing room. It's gonna get a little toasty, but I got really tired of the audio. I wouldn't say it sounded like I was in a cathedral, the echo level. It was more like Pentecostal chapel, but still wasn't really the level of professionalism that a lot of people have come to expect from podcasts. And I just got tired of hearing that slapback echo when I was editing. So certainly for the audience who doesn't love the sound of their voice, the sound of my voice, as much as I love the sound of my voice, it sounded extra terrible. So hopefully that's an improvement you already have noticed.
I also think it's less of a, I don't like Asher's voice, and more, I don't like faintly hearing Asher's voice again.
that was something that was an issue for a long time. Just in my studio, I'm right in smack dab in the middle of the room. Finally got everything hooked up on the laptop and crammed myself in the closet here. Hope you appreciate it because I'm suffering a little bit. It's pretty mild. Not going to be a baby about it. I just want to be appreciated.
I appreciate it. And if you're interested in how my audio setup is different, it's basically not. I took my microphone on a trip recently in a backpack that I got for Christmas, meaning that backpack should be completely clean. And now that I'm looking at the like little foam head on the end of my microphone, there's a lot of hair on it.
How did that get there?
I don't know how that got there.
Is that a smooth transition to us talking about our pets again? I would like to steer us away from that.
Well, then I have another question for you.
Okay.
Do you have any, I've been thinking about this a lot lately and I don't know why, but I have one really big question for nudists.
Okay.
And I'd like to find an opportunity to ask them, but in case any of our listeners have friends that are nudists, I know they wouldn't be able to listen to the show because where would they hold the phone or thing that holds the podcast? But if anybody knows anybody, could you ask them where they wipe their hands when they eat Cheetos?
Listen, actually, that's an interesting topic. That's a very good joke. Interesting topic. Originally, that was a huge complaint for Cheetos was all the cheese dust, Chester Cheetah's dandruff that remained on your fingertips after you've dived into a bag of puffs, until some marketing team dreamed up the idea of having people go, ooh, just finished my Cheetos, time for my favorite part. Very breathy and like sensual. And they just slowly... Yeah. Just disgustingly lick that residue off of their thumbs. And they told people that was a desirable thing. And everyone was like, yeah, I do love that.
So I don't know if this was something I actually saw on the internet or an insane fever dream I had a week or two ago. But I think somewhere on the internet, I saw somebody get Cheeto dust tattooed on their fingers. Does that sound real?
Doesn't sound... I'm trying to visualize it. I don't doubt that someone would do it if they could. I just don't know how.
I feel like it would have to be a very, very good pattern of flavor and dots just like lined around the end of each finger. Maybe like, I bet you could get the same effect of what it would look like to have Cheeto dust if you like covered a cotton swab with like orange juice and pushed it against your finger a couple times and like let that
some
sit.
Orange food coloring and a few minutes of having that submerged in warm water probably gets you about the same effect.
And so I imagine that wouldn't be that hard to depict on a finger. You just have the end of it be orange and then speckle it out a little bit as you go further down. Speaking of things that are creepy. Today we're talking about mustaches and the weird idea about whether, so the weird idea that mustaches are inherently creepy and a mustache is the mark of a creepier person. And the reason I want to dive deep into this is because I, for the last, how long ago was last June? The last 11 months have had a mustache and have kind of built my entire wardrobe around having a mustache. Around 3 out of every 10 people I talk to that I thought were friends of mine will comment on it and say something like, "Ooh, are you sure about that?"
There's something about mustaches, and this may be something to get into later, that makes people really confident about voicing mean opinions. No one would ever say that about your hair or like your physique, but for some reason with a mustache, they are so happy to tell you they don't like it.
And it's absolutely crazy to me. I saw my grandma for maybe the first time in 5-6 months in December. The first thing she said to me was, "You look like a mixture of Groucho Marx and Hitler." And one, no, I don't. And two, how can you say that so quickly? Now, my grandma's old, so she's more inclined to say things that other people wouldn't.
Man, my grandparents have also reached that point where they're just wilding out all the time. I love talking to my grandparents.
I think it's the thing I'm most excited about elderly age is being able to realize that, like, if you say something crazy, people will just be like, "Oh, that's old Meemaw."
Yeah.
They're like, "Oh, she didn't know what she meant." She knows what she meant.
Meanwhile, sharp as a tack.
Yeah. So I found a lot of interesting facts about this in my research. Fatherly.com.
Nice.
Shared a very fun fact that American men with mustaches make an average of 8.2% more money than men with beards and 4.3% more than clean shaven men.
Interesting.
Which I couldn't find any real like backing to that claim, but it did make me, a mustached man, feel pretty proud. For a long time, mustaches were symbols of power, actually. In the heavily bearded times of the 1600s, King James I and his son, King Charles I, both rocked handlebar mustaches. Which also, quick question and quick sidebar. If they're the first one, do I have to say the first? Like, if you named your son Asher Freeman II, would I have to start calling you Asher Freeman I?
Or Asher Freeman Sr. or the OG?
That's way less fun, though, right? The OG's good. But I think it goes OG first and then low down as senior.
Yeah.
Because first makes you seem royal. OG makes you seem royal. And senior just is kind of boring. It's like, "Oh, you were lazy when you named your son." No offense to anybody who's a junior or a senior.
Since we're in the phase of where did it come from, obviously we can't really pin down the origin of facial hair because that's just the origin of human beings. But is this the earliest documented instance where we see that being a popular style?
Mustaches?
Yeah, you said during the 1600s, right?
Yeah, well, the issue is that I feel like the 1600s, and this may not be true, but the 1600s is where we first start like actually depicting and cataloging how fashion moves.
Sure.
Through paintings and stuff, because obviously they didn't have real photography at that point. And so a lot of it was I feel like in the 1600s, I feel like now the first things we can see that influenced our fashion today and where we are fashion wise today come from the 1600s. Sure, there were fashion movements before then and stuff was popular and unpopular before then. But like shirts and pants and stuff now were a lot different back, like were influenced by the 1600s. But yeah, even 200 years later, the British Army even required mustaches as part of their uniforms.
Wow.
The 1860 to 1916. But before we get too far into it, I wanted to read something that had me almost crying laughing earlier today. It's from a website called beardstyle.net. And if anybody goes to it, they will understand this is not a professional website. This is definitely somebody who got a URL that they thought was cool, even though it's a .net. And found a Squarespace template or something. But the article is titled, 7 Creepy Mustache Mistakes You Never Want to Make.
Get that SEO, baby.
Okay, this one. Okay, I'm just going to walk through them and give you a quick description of what they say underneath, because each of these is buck wild. 1, forgot to shave.
Okay, that's fair enough. Just sloppy.
One of the most important things about maintaining a perfect stash is keeping it neat. So if you skip a day or two, your nice and stylish mustache will turn into a real disaster. Large and bushy. Some people might like having a lot of hair on their face, but bushy mustaches makes some of us look pretty scary. Going too far is 3. If your face is small and round, a large mustache will look like you've gone too far. Sparse hair. Number four, a lot of men have a problem with sparse hair. Some guys should forget about full mustaches and beards. They will never be able to grow them. So stop dreaming about it.
Wonder if there are ever any men who are barred from the British military because their mustache was not up to standards.
Oh, I'm sure mustache standards at that point were like, I see a hair there, you're in.
Yeah, everyone here is about 16 anyway.
Number five, too manly.
Okay, now you've lost me.
The description of this one is manly cowboy mustaches used to be popular in the past centuries. In the modern world, they can look a little ridiculous. Such creepy mustache will look especially terrible on young men with thin facial features. How does that say anything about too manly? What does any of that mean? None of that means anything.
You're going to want to make sure it doesn't look too good. That's how you know you've gone too far.
Number six, outdated. Your favorite movie star wore a certain mustache and you want the same one? Stop and think. The mustache can be outdated and you will look truly ridiculous wearing a 20th century style in the 21st century. Consider something more modern. And then the last one, number seven, youngster mustache. Young men often want to look older and start growing a mustache as soon as they get a couple of hairs on their upper lip. This mustache can look truly funny. The overall image will scream, green youngster.
Truly funny. I didn't like that article so much, Jackson. It wasn't really specific enough for my taste. Just kind of one guy generally saying, like, get with the times.
It didn't say anything. So let's dive a little bit into why and when they became creepy. Okay.
Okay.
So I was understandably a little bit scared to do research on this because I didn't want to, in the process, convince myself that my mustache is a bad thing, which it is. But I was also curious as to why every older woman in my family is so quick to say they hate it.
You didn't want to turn around on the court, run to the wrong end, and dunk on yourself.
Right. So a part of it is definitely SEO, which for those who are not involved in marketing, I understand. I don't know how to do any sort of accountant, but SEO stands for search engine optimization. But if you do a Google search of creepy guy on Google, six of the first eight pictures show a guy with a mustache. In World War I, gas masks would not seal properly with beards, so facial hair stopped being a sign of military men, but they were still allowed for higher ranking officers. However, many men who weren't involved in warfare efforts decided to keep them as a denial of current fashion trends. And this kind of helped start to instigate the outcast sexual elements of mustache messaging.
Hmm.
The 1900s saw a full spectrum of opinions on the mustache and the evility of it. I was going to try that word. It doesn't work. The evilness of it, the evil qualities of it. That's so boring. Feel like as a language, we've just gotten to a point where we're afraid to create new words. But yeah, Alan Peterkin was quoted saying that it was used in religious literature for a long time as a symbol of Satan, but that it was also mostly used in cooperation with a goatee.
That's right. Satan always has a little goatee going on. Just seen with just a mustache. I don't think I've ever seen that.
I don't either. But I will say that a couple days ago, and my wife has the flu, so not everything she can say right now, she says right now, will make sense. But a couple of days ago, Shannon pointed out that the hair that was growing underneath my bottom lip was becoming a little bit of a goatee with my mustache. And so I very quickly ran to the bathroom and shaved it.
So that's where you draw the line.
So that's where I draw the line. But I don't know. I feel like arguing that it was used in religious literature for a symbol of Satan is not true. I feel like a mustache plus a goatee is a symbol of Satan.
Right. And from my brief Google search, the 1880s was kind of the heyday of the mustache as a fashion statement globally, where it was just kind of what you did. You had a clean, neat mustache. So it's interesting that I guess it's just the pendulum swinging that in the 1900s, which back when the world moved a little bit slower, that was a short amount of time, there was already mixed opinions on the style.
Would you mind if I tried an analogy real quick?
All right, make an attempt.
Okay, so I feel like saying that the mustache was very evil, even though Satan only ever had a mustache and a goatee, is like saying a steak is the trashiest kind of meal when what you're imagining is a steak and a Miller Lite. You know what I mean? Like the steak on its own, one of America's favorite meals for some random reason. The mustache on its own, excellent. A steak and a Miller Lite, okay, you're at an Applebee's.
Yeah.
A mustache and a goatee, okay, yeah, you're the devil.
Yeah, we love our steaks over here. Who wouldn't want a burger that's hard to eat?
Who wouldn't want a burger where half the time you're figuring out whether or not you're supposed to chew on it or whether or not it's too fatty and whether or not somebody tells you you're not allowed to use barbecue sauce. And then the other people are like, oh, this barbecue sauce. I could go on a long rant here.
Plus, it's the number one killer above puffer fish in the United States. So, yeah, I trust my server at Chili's to properly prepare this steak.
Okay, two things. One, puffer fish? It's above puffer fish?
I actually don't have those statistics. Pufferfish is poisonous, but not a lot of people eat them. I do know that a surprising number of people choke to death on steaks.
Okay, and then two, are you about to trash talk Chili's? Because Applebee's I'm okay with, but Chili's?
You know what? I'm going to take that back. I don't want to equate those two establishments. I realize now how that could have been implied, and I want to apologize.
Because Applebee's, while it has a better slogan, eating good in the neighborhood, is nowhere near as good as Chili's, whose slogan is like no place else. One of the biggest moments I've found that acted as a turning point on the mustache was in the 1930s. In 1932, W.C. Graham published How to Get a Job During a Depression, in which he wrote, "Shave off that mustache if you're looking for a job." He then added another line that was something along the lines of, "You only want to have a mustache in a job interview if you're interviewing for a," and then a bunch of words that I think were probably profane in the 30s.
A darn tootin' tarnation. Straight up just Yosemite Sam cuss words.
And at that point, a bunch of people who were famous and prominent authors of that time were using mustaches in depictions of their villains in their books. Like, a fictional book would almost always have a mustache on the bad guy. But I feel like that was kind of the point where mustaches were given the worst press. And since then, they've slowly kind of plateaued back down. Plateau is not the right term, but they've decreased down in terms of creepiness. But I think that implemented or like put in a lot of people's minds that like mustache people are bad. And so a lot of fiction still has a mustache on the bad guy or a mustache on the creepy one. I think Bo Burnham has a line where he's being sarcastic. And he says something like, "I wasn't sure about letting that babysitter watch our kids, but then I saw his mustache."
Right. And you said it was right. You said it was around 1930 that was the turn. That also lines up pretty closely to the more famous instances of mustaches that kind of sealed the deal, that being the Hitler stash and Joseph Stalin, both guys who are kind of like, if you caricaturize them, you can kind of identify them just by their mustache. So globally, I think that was the first time that people associated that style with evil creepiness.
I will say, though, I do want to not thank Hitler and Stalin ever. Definitely not thank them. But appreciate the fact that the mustaches they chose for their distinctive identity are very distinctive mustaches. Right. Like, it's easy not to have a Hitler stash.
Yes.
It is hard for me to just shave down to the middle. I am so thankful that he did not go with the very classic mustache.
Yeah, for a lot of people, that's the weak zone. That's where there's not much hair.
Another weird thing, I mean, that leads to another point. It depends a lot on the kind of mustache. A thick mustache that ends right around where your lips end can be very clean. And I'm not just saying that because it's the kind of mustache I shave onto my face every day. But a thin, longer one is going to be much more suspicious.
Yeah.
I know that like different ethnicities of people are more inclined to grow different kinds of facial hair based on genetics. And so I don't want to say that people with longer, thinner mustaches are more dangerous people. I will say that people have villainized them to be more dangerous and be read as evil. Ironically, the best thing to help make mustaches more popular and more present has been what was created in, honestly, probably parts of the culture that I'm not the biggest fan of, but created in 2003, is called Movember.
Yes.
No Shave November. We all know this, but in the event, men are encouraged never to shave in an effort to raise awareness for men's issues. And it was, to nobody's surprise, dreamt up over a drinking session by three Australian friends.
Nice. Well, that's definitely a positive. It's a forced positive way to be like, no, this is for a good cause.
So now that we're kind of over the hump of mustaches being creepy and on our way out, because I feel like 50 years ago, it would be 7 of my 10 friends as opposed to 3 of my 10 friends criticizing my mustache. Let's talk about where it's going to go. I feel like there's certainly facial hair I'm not the biggest fan of, but I also feel like I don't want to potentially villainize people based on facial hair they have to grow or facial hair they're stuck with, or like facial hair that is a religious tradition or something. And I feel like the mustache I have now is very much a fashion trend. Like, I think skinny jeans became popular when I was in sixth grade, and I think they will go out of fashion, and I will never think they look bad because I am slowly becoming part of the older generation. And so I imagine that mustaches as they are now are kind of being inducted into kind of a fashion sense. But what I want to talk about where it's going to go is, since mustaches for so long became like a depiction of a way, or like a symbol of a person to immediately distrust, what do you think that will be in the future? Because I've got a couple ideas about things that people have that are clear signs of, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to trust you with my children.
One might be a t-shirt that says, I must ask you a question, which gets in a little bit to part of also, I think, some of the negativity of the pendulum swinging the other way, where in the 20 teens, just kind of like liking mustaches was a personality trait, and all the t-shirts and Hot Topic were replaced with whatever characters with little mustaches. I think after people got really sick of that, people were just kind of done with mustaches in general. But after inevitably they come back in style fully, it's going to be those terrible early 20-aughts memes that I am not going to trust. If someone still thinks that's funny, that's someone who is out of touch with reality, and I don't want them interacting with my kids.
On the same like kind of train of thought, I think you could zoom out a little bit and say any t-shirt bought from like a Walmart or a general department store that has a joke on it or something that's supposed to be funny. If you are over the age of 20 and you're wearing one of those, like if you wear a shirt that says something along the lines of,
I mean, the classic is FBI, female body inspector.
Okay, that's fair. But I was thinking like my favorite weapon in my tool belt is sarcasm.
Yeah, it's always sarcasm. I was also thinking like, I'm fluent in sarcasm.
Like if you have a shirt that talks about how sarcastic you are, I can guarantee you're not funny. And I'm not saying that as somebody who thinks they're funny. I'm saying that as somebody who has never met somebody wearing that shirt and heard them say something funny. Another one that I think I'm viewing this as just things that people do that make me immediately think, okay, I should think about this person a little bit differently.
All right, you got an example for me to get? Maybe I can come up with some other ones after I hear what you got.
So one of my biggest examples is I don't really trust anybody under the age of 50 that's really good at bowling. You know what I mean?
Because it requires you spending a lot of time in a place alone, enjoying having the skin rubbed off of your thumbs and inventing new strains of bacteria and viruses by never washing your hands ever.
And I am absolutely not shaming people who go bowling because I personally love bowling. I think that kind of activity where it's like it's on ESPN, but is it really a sport? And it's always in the same building as all the other things that are on ESPN, but is it really a sport?
Yes.
I really love all of those. I love playing pool. I love playing pinball. I love mini golf. I love bowling. But if you are really good at it, then that means you are doing it not just as a fun, exciting activity. You're doing it because you want to be really good at it. And I feel like a person that wants to be really good at bowling is a person that has something they're hiding.
Yeah, bowling's cool. Bowling's cool, man. It's fun. It's just, it's maybe the only activity where it's cooler to be bad at it.
And it's really easy to be bad at it.
Yeah, man, it's great.
If you're hanging out with friends and you are very good at bowling, maybe pretend you're not very good at bowling.
Yeah, get a quick laugh. Chuck the ball in the next lane over. It's fantastic.
Ironically, hiding that thing about you will make me think you are hiding fewer things. What are some other ones? Because I don't want to pick like fashion trends because I feel like pretty much anything is a good fashion trend as long as it's not a t-shirt that says I'm fluent in sarcasm. I think Heelys are the best fashion. I think it's ridiculous that it's hard to find Heelys for adults.
Wearing Heelys actually would make you more trustworthy. It's like they are coordinated, they're on the go, and they're getting fit and they're having fun.
I think my absolute ideal shoe would be a Croc with a Heely wheel built in.
All right, now you're just being silly.
Are you trash talking Crocs, Asher?
I think I'm just trash talking this hybrid that you've invented because unless you are perfectly skilled in a pair of Heelys, and no one is, because they are, I mean, let's be honest, they're pretty objectively difficult to ride. You're not really getting proper heels, like ankle support and toe protection.
In a croc?
Yeah, although I'm saying that and now I'm imagining the breeze passing through my toes and it's like, that's the jet ski of shoes.
It is absolutely the jet ski of shoes. And I think one of the big things you're forgetting is the back strap.
Yeah.
If you flip in a traditional pair of Crocs, if you flip that front strap to the back, they become hecka secure.
Yeah, jet skis don't even have seatbelts, so this thing is way safer.
Way safer than a jet ski, which should be the tagline of the Healy Croc invention. And I am absolutely making a tacky 80s style like magazine ad for this. And it will go on the Instagram.
Would you trust someone more or less if they, in 2020, had a flip phone? And I'm not talking about having like a burner phone, because obviously, I mean, like that is their primary phone number. They'll happily give it out at Hollister when they ask for your phone number or to any cop. Like it's just their primary line, but it's a flip phone. Do you trust that person?
I'm glad that we publish and produce and record this podcast in the exact opposite order of that. But that's not, the order is not the important part. I'm glad we do that so we can say our intentional feelings. But I feel like that kind of person is doing that to avoid social media.
Yeah, but that's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool, but it's also kind of, you think you're better than me? I have to struggle on Instagram. Why don't you? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Pretty soon there'll be the great digital migration and all social media will be I want to say a wasteland, but we're already there. It'll be abandoned completely.
I don't distrust them. I feel sorry for them because without Instagram, how are they seeing Asher's Fire comics?
Woo!
And then also, texting on those things is absolutely the reason I would never go back.
That's a good point. I wasn't even thinking T9. If someone was willingly using T9, then they're a cop or a narc.
Unless modern flip phones may do a better job of doing voice text messages, which I feel like are having kind of a comeback or a come up. I feel like 10 years ago, every time somebody spoke to their phone to text it, I didn't trust them as much. I thought, oh, this is silly. Why are you doing that? But now I feel like it's much more common. The guy I bought my truck from would do it every single time. And most of that was because he was doing it while driving, which I feel like is a much safer way to text. So I feel like that's another example of something that kind of had a hill where it was like, oh, do I trust you? And then it's kind of come back down.
So I think we've kind of filled the void then. Like we do need socially to have these signifiers so that we know who to trust at a second's glance. That gets pretty quickly into profiling. But when you are, in the example you provided, getting a babysitter, or I think that's what you provided, that's what I imagined. You do want to trust your instincts on the credibility of that person. But now that we've had some ideas for things that can fill the void of a creepy mustache, I legitimately think, if you want my actual opinion, that they are going to come back in full force soon. And it's not just going to be like a hipster, like trendy statement. Because anything that you can acquire by doing less work is always going to be a part of the conversation. It's like most men can have this from doing almost nothing. And that's where this is getting kind of like the unga bunga psychology of like Carl Jung, who would probably suggest that like women are more attracted to men with beards because it shows that they're sexually mature and they can grow a beard and that's attractive. I think most women would tell you otherwise. You could argue, though, that a mustache shows both physical maturity and control and precision. And I think there's something there, like in the same way that people like the elite in France, for example, would have these extravagant gardens. And it wasn't just for the fact that they could have a pretty picnic. It was to flex their control over nature. And that's exactly what a mustache is. It's saying, I can grow this beard, but I'm not going to let it get out of control. I am shaping it. I am perfectly putting it in place where it belongs. And it's only there because I've decided it belongs there.
I do think, though, so on that same topic, fatherly.com gave that kind of reasoning. Apparently, mustaches are viewed as a sign of choice because nobody typically grows a mustache without intentionally shaving every other part of the face. Growing a beard, albeit a clean one, is hard, but growing a beard in general can be relatively straightforward. I know I personally have a mustache because I can't grow a beard yet very well, and the mustache area fills in pretty nicely. But generally, I have to shave three times a week to get my facial hair to be clean other than just have a mustache. So it's a choice.
Yeah. Just a beard. Like if it's something you want, a legitimate strategy is a self-induced coma and you can have a beard. Mustache is going to take a little more work, but it's still less work than being clean shaven. That was my point, is that it's still, relatively speaking, to shaving every single day to stay silky smooth, mustache is a little bit easier.
I think for me, though, it's actually a little bit harder. I would agree that for the average person, it's a little bit easier. But when I was just growing facial hair, I would shave, or when I was just trying to be clean shaven, I would shave maybe once or twice a week at most. And now I try and shave every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. I try and shave around three times a week just because I try and put the focus on the mustache instead of the very clear spot on my chin where I can't grow hair.
Right.
But I think generally, to take this in a less funny direction than where we've been most of this episode, I feel like the idea of having something be an indicator of creepiness for a person is pretty outdated in general.
Yeah.
I feel like while I'm personally not a fan of people wearing my second language is sarcasm t-shirts, I also want to get to a point where I personally don't see that person as a bad person.
Yeah.
I think that it is easy to say, I don't want that person to babysit my children because they're my children and I want to be able to find ways to find good people to do that. But I think visual signs of that, unless they're like, I see them murdering a person, are probably not the best way to do that.
That's a good positive way to end this off, I think.
And I think that, yeah, I don't have anything else. I think that's a good way to end it.
I like having a moral to the story. Mustaches are coming back. You're going to see, maybe not in the 2020s, 2030s. I mean, they're going to be wildly popular. I'm calling it now. And this is a recorded format, so you can even bring this back to me and confront me with this.
He's right.
I'm confident.
He's right.
I better start growing mine now.
Do it.
It's going to take a while is the joke I'm making there.
I absolutely grew mine. I think all men who are dating people do this, where they will grow a mustache or will, when they shave their facial hair, they will leave the mustache as a joke. And then to the person they are dating, they will say, I'm done. To which the person that they're dating says, no, you're not. But I think every mustache goes through this step where what I did was when Shannon said, no, you're not, I said, but trust me on this.
Yeah. For the ladies out there listening, when a guy does that, they're not really joking. They pretend to be joking to protect their feelings, but they legitimately want you to be excited about it.
And the reason they do that, and I know this because of friends' experience, not personal knowledge, is because comedy is a defense mechanism. How do we end this show?
We have not figured that out.
Thanks so much for listening. If you want to follow us on our social media, we currently have an Instagram called Cotton Eye Show. That's CottonEye Show. And we typically are posting there with any kind of news. We took a pretty large hiatus, but we're back on the grind because tomorrow we're releasing an episode. This episode will be out next week. And we are back making episodes as fast as we can, according to our schedules. It's been a crazy Christmas.
Yes, thank you, everyone, for your patience, for sticking around. If you have ideas for topics you want us to talk about, we would love to hear them. This is a really easy format to submit content ideas for because it could really just be a single word.
Like buffalo.
Buffalo. Well, I can't really quite figure out where we got buffalo from.
Let me think of it like time.
Yeah. No, again, it's got to be something a little more concrete. Concrete. Oh, OK, for sure. I thought for sure we're going to say concrete at the same time. Concrete is interesting, though. Any noun that's not an abstract thought.
Time.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and go to commercial.
Thank you for drinking Miller High Life, the champagne of beers, not a sponsor. Thank you so much for listening. I've been Jackson.
And I've been Asher.
And this is Cotton Eye Joe. And if I could give you a recommendation, Paddington 2 is on HBO for only a couple more days. So if you've got HBO, you've got to give it a watch.
Listen, free trial. Just watch it and then leave.
Let's have a
that's
day,
all
man.
You need to do. While you're there, no, that's it. There are good stuff on HBO. There are good stuff. There is good stuff on HBO.
My dear, keep your pace.
I'm sure you can find it. Paddington 2, not to be missed.
Yes, couple follows.